If you have your Bibles, please open them up to the book of Acts, chapter 4. Let's pray. My dear God, thank you for how good you are to all of us, Lord. Thank you for the privilege, Lord, to share your holy word, dear God. Thank you for my brothers and sisters that are here. Thank you, Lord, that you would, that you love us so much and you care for each one of us. We ask that you would feed us from your word, Lord. I praise and love you, my dear God, and I'm so grateful and thankful, Lord, for everything you do for me. I commit the service to you and to your glory, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
I think you all are very familiar with the life of Peter. And I had been asking the Lord, what would you have me teach on, and I kept reading this chapter, and I couldn't get anything out of it, you know. And I finally, about 4 o'clock in the morning yesterday, God spoke to me, and I said, "Oh, it was so simple." And I, you know, sometimes the answer that you're looking for is so in front of you, and you're looking too hard, and God just says, no, here it is, you know. And so if you like, you can stand up, and we're going to read the Word of God, or you can sit down, whatever you would like. We're going to read chapter 4, okay? While they were speaking to the people, the priest, the captain of the temple, police, and the Sadducees confronted them, because they were annoyed that they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. So they seized them and took them into custody until the next day, since it was already evening. But many of those who heard the message believed, and the number of men came to about 5,000. The next day, the rulers, elders, and scribes assembled in Jerusalem with Ananias, a high priest, Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and all the members of the high priestly family. After they had Peter and John stand before them, they began to question them, "By what power or in what name have you done this?" Then Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit and said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders, if we are being examined today about a good deed done to a disabled man, by what means he was healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified and whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you healthy. This Jesus, the stone the stone rejected by you builders, which has become the cornerstone. There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to people by which we must be saved." Amen. The boldness of the disciples, when they observed the boldness of Peter and John and realized that they were uneducated and untrained men, they were amazed and recognized that they had been with Jesus. And since then, they saw the man who had been healed standing with them. They had nothing to say in opposition. After they ordered them to leave the Sanhedrin, they conferred among themselves, saying, "What shall we do with this man? For an obvious sign has been done through them, so clear to everyone living in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it, so that this one does not spread any further among the people. Let's threaten them against speaking, to anyone in this name. So they called for them and ordered them not to speak or teach to all in the name of Jesus. Peter and John answered them, "Whether it is right in the sight of God for us to listen to you rather than to God, you decide, for we are unable to speak about to stop speaking about what we have seen and heard." After threatening them further, they released them. They found no way to punish them because the people were all giving glory to God over what had been done. For this sign of healing had been performed on a man over 40 years old. After they were released, they went to their own people and reported everything the chief priest and the elders had said to them. When they heard, they raised their voices together to God and said, "Master, you are the one who made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You said through the Holy Spirit by the mouth of our father David, your servant, why do the Gentiles rage and the peoples plot futile things? The kings of the earth take their stand and the rulers assemble together against the Lord and against his Messiah. For in fact, in this city, both Herod and Pontius Pilate and the Gentiles and the people of Israel assembled together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, to do whatever your hand and your will had predestined to take place. And now, Lord, consider their threats and grant that your servant may speak your word with all boldness, while you stretch out your hand for healing and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus." When they had prayed, the place where they were assembled was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God boldly. Thank you. You can sit down. The story here is, and what they're talking about is in chapter 3, Peter and John had come to church at the hour of prayer. And when they came, there was a man who was crippled. And in the process, they would bring him and lay him out in front of the church. And he would ask for money. And so that everybody that came sometimes, you know, they gave him money. And when Peter and John came, they looked at him. And he thought, well, since they're looking at me, that's probably going to give me some money. So he put his hand out, and Peter said to him, "Silver and gold have we none but what we have. In the name of Jesus Christ, stand up and walk." Now, I want you to stop and think about Peter for a moment. Do you recall when they came after Jesus? Peter was one of those people that took out a sword, remember? And he cut the one man's ear off, and Jesus had to put it back. And not only that, but after they took Jesus, do you recall that Peter was with the enemy, and they came and asked him, "Do you know Jesus?" And he said, "No, I don't know who he is," and he denied him. And then Jesus had told him before the cock crows three times, "You're going to deny me three times." And when he had done that, he looked at Jesus and he cried bitterly, okay, because he knew that what Jesus had told him was the truth. Now, after Jesus died and he resurrected and he was gone, before he left, he told them, "I want you to go into Jerusalem, and I want you to wait until you receive power from on high, so that through the Holy Spirit you can do the work that I have called you to do." And so they did. Now, all of a sudden, after all of this time and what have you, Peter is changing. Okay, Peter has become a different man, okay? He was always, he had a lot of anger. He had all kinds of problems within himself. But all of a sudden, his life started to change, and it changed because of what the Holy Spirit had done in him and how the Holy Spirit had come upon him. And I was thinking about our lives and how our lives change same way. I look at Peter and I'm thinking about myself, and I go back to where I didn't know the Lord and how hard it was for me to be kind and to be thoughtful and to be loving. And it was just difficult for me because I had always grown from when I was a little boy, very poor, and working very hard to have everything that we had. And so my life was, it was in such a way that I didn't appreciate anybody, and I didn't think of anybody outside of what they could do for me to make my life better. And when I was looking at the life of Peter, I see that when he came to church, his thinking was different. His way of looking at things was different. Yeah. When he got to the church, here's a person who for 40 years had been brought and put in front of the church just to ask people for money. And during those 40 years, not that we know of, nobody prayed for him, okay? Nobody offered any kind of thing to him outside of just giving him money. And his life, what, never changed, okay? Now, for you and me, somehow, some way, okay, somebody invited us, somebody encouraged us, somebody was praying for us, okay, that our lives would change. And God was merciful, and he came into our lives, and our lives did change.
Amen.
Yeah. I had a gentleman that was a friend of mine, and he had a daughter that was 18 years old. And he was dying, and he invited me to come over and pray for him. And I didn't really know how to pray for him. I had just started to go and learn about Jesus Christ and learn about God. And his wife came over, and she said, "Hank wants you to come over because he's dying. He wants you to pray for him." So I did go. And I can't tell you how I prayed because I don't remember. But on my way out, his daughter was washing dishes. And she was 18 years old going to college. And I don't know why, I turned over and I said, "Can I ask you a question?" And she said, "Yes." I said, "Were you praying for me?" And she said, "Yes, I was." And here's a young lady that I never talked to, I had never visited with, or nothing, you know. And yet, she was praying for my salvation. And God heard her prayer, and God came into my life. Now, Peter, when he prayed for this man that was at the church, God did a miracle. And I look at the body here, and I look at the body of Christ throughout the world, and all the miracles that God does, and all the miracles that could be done because of the gifts of the Holy Spirit that are given to each and every one of us after we receive Jesus Christ. Sometimes I think it's that we don't believe that we can do certain things. Sometimes I think is that we don't think that we hear from God, okay. But I wanted to Just stop and think, you know, here's the same Peter who denied Christ three times. Okay, and then all of a sudden he comes to church and he prays for a man, and his faith and trust was in the name of Jesus Christ, and the man stood up and walked. We're a country where we have not had persecution. We've been, by the grace of God, we've been able to worship and praise God and come to church and fellowship and do all kinds of things that God has blessed our nation to be able to do that. But Jesus said that he was persecuted and that we were going to be persecuted. Okay? In time to come, somehow, some way, things are going to change around you. The liberty and the freedom that you have is going to be taken away from you. The Bibles that we read, okay, are all going to be taken up and burned. So the only thing that you will have in remembrance of the scriptures will be what you have memorized, what you know in your heart, what you believe, okay? I have something that God has given me as an anchor verse for my life. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding, because I used to do that. I used to lean unto my understanding about everything, and it doesn't work that way. Yeah. There's another scripture that says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all this thing shall be added unto thee. Can you imagine if everybody in the United States believed that scripture and all the wonderful things that our country would be and all the wonderful things that we would be doing for people? The Word of God said that we are lights for those who are in darkness. When you stop and think about those things, it's the same way with Peter. Remember, he was living his life, doing his thing, and going about his own life. And Jesus came along and said, follow me. And Jesus taught them a lot of things. You know, when Peter and John came to the temple and they helped this man, they had no idea that all of a sudden, okay, somebody was going to come along and arrest him. And they put him in jail overnight. And the following day, they brought him out. And everyone that was connected with the high priest, the elders, and everything was there, including all the people that had seen the miracle of what they had done. And so they came and asked them, by what authority, by whose name are you doing this? And the reason they did that was because in one of the Old Testament books, they had come up with a law that if anybody would say anything to take you away from God, they had the right to put that person to death. And so when they asked them that, that's what they were looking at. They were looking at the fact that they knew that Peter and John had used the name of Jesus Christ. Now, remember that they had taken Jesus before Pilate, and they had asked Pilate to crucify him. And in the process of that, Pilate said that he found nothing wrong with this man. But yet, nonetheless, because he was afraid of losing his position, he went ahead and did what they asked him to do. Now, when they came to Peter and John, I was looking at the message that Peter, all of a sudden, was preaching to the people, okay? Now, here's a gentleman that was a fisherman. He was a gentleman who had really not learned an awful lot about, you know, the Word of God that we know of, but we're going to find out different. In verse 11, it said, while he was holding on to Peter and John, all the people, that's chapter 3. The next day, their rulers and elders assembled in Jerusalem. And after they had Peter and John stand before them, they began to question them, by what power, in what name have you done this? And Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, I stopped and I looked at that because each and every one of us, okay, by the grace of God, when we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we are filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Amen? Now, all of a sudden, we become a new creation. We become a new person. And those things that we couldn't do by the grace of God, we can do. Now, I just want you to stop and think for yourself, because I don't know if you really realized what God has done for you and what he's blessed you with. See, sometimes we look at a burning fire on television in a forest someplace or a house, or we see a war going on someplace in Israel. We see all kinds of things on television, and we just look at it and go by it. We don't do anything about it. Remember the story of Nehemiah when he heard that Israel was desolate and that they were coming in there and doing all kinds of things there, and how bad he felt? He went to God and he asked God for help to do something. You see, in our lives, when God opens something for us, okay, it was just like Peter that day when all of a sudden he wasn't looking for a crippled man. He came to church to hear the word of God, to be encouraged, to be spiritually fed. But God had a different plan. And this is something that each and every one of us need to know and understand, that every day God has a plan and a purpose for us to walk with him, to serve him, to glorify him. Remember what he told the disciples? Follow me. Okay? Now, when Peter is standing before all of this big people who were, you know, rulers and everything else, I don't think that he stopped and remembered that he was a fisherman. Because the Word of God says that when you encounter resistance or when you encounter persecution, that God is going to give you what you need. All of a sudden, Peter, the word says, filled with the Holy Spirit, okay? All of a sudden, he had something to say that was entirely, entirely different than his nature of personality that he was, okay? All of a sudden now, he said, rulers of the people and elders, if we are being examined today about a good deed done to a disabled man, by what means he was healed, let it be known to all of you that all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ. Now, all of a sudden, okay, remember, he had denied Jesus. Now he's what? Telling them that he believed in Jesus and that Jesus wasn't dead, that Jesus had resurrected, and that the resurrection of Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit had given him the power, all right, to do a healing for a man that was crippled. And I think today we've kind of compromised. We've compromised our faith. We come to church and we hear the word of God, and We hear, like here, about Peter doing a miracle in the name of Jesus Christ at a person being able to be made whole. You know, I mean, do you ever stop and think about what God could do with you if you were used by God to do something? Yeah. See, I think we enjoy Christianity. We enjoy coming to church. We enjoy the fellowship of the brothers and sisters. But what about walking with Christ? If you were to get up this morning and you were to say, you know, today I'm not going to do anything except what God tells me to do, would you do that? Would you try that? How about if you ran across someone and they were hungry? Would you feed them? How about if somebody falls across the street and you have the opportunity to run over there and help them to get up? Would you do that? Do you remember the story of the Good Samaritan? He wasn't a Jew. He wasn't what termly called a Christian. But when he saw someone that had a great need, he what? Ministered to them. He took care of them. He did all kinds of things for them. And it's the same way with each and every one of us. There's something special that God has given each and every one of us. And that specialty that he's given us, okay, is to be able to glorify him, to be able to honor him, okay? Because he said, I'm sending the Holy Spirit so that he can empower you, so that he can help you to do what I call you to do. So it's not like we're doing it ourselves. It's what? The Lord doing it to us through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah. Yet, in your life, okay, have you ever stopped and done something for someone in the name of Jesus Christ? Like Peter. Yeah. He didn't come to them and says, hey, my name is Peter, get up and I'm going to show you, you know, you're going to be able to walk. No, that's not what he said. He said, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, stand up and walk. And he reached down and pulled him up. Do you remember when Peter fell in the water? You know, he had walked on water. Yeah. And he knew that he had walked on water. But he also knew that he fell in the water. And he also knew when he cried out to Jesus that Jesus had picked him out of the water. You see, one point of the change in our lives is to understand and know how much God loves us and what God has done for us. You know, we sang that song about all the good things that God has done. You ever stop and think about those? Yeah? Stop and think about families, you know? Stop and think about celebrations you've had with all the family and how everybody comes together, you know, enjoys it, and they have food and fellowship and everything else. And you know who made that possible? God. It wasn't you. Yeah? You see, God is always doing things for us, and somehow, some way, okay, you need to wake up to what's going on around you, okay? Before too long, when persecution comes, what are you going to do? Where are you going to turn, and who are you going to call? You see, there's some people that only call on Jesus when they're in trouble. You're familiar with that, amen? Okay, because I don't know about you, but I have sometimes people call me and they want me to pray for someone, and I haven't heard from them in years. But all of a sudden, they're calling me because some relative is sick and they need help with that. And my point all the time is, sure, I'll pray with you. No, I want to pray. No, I'll pray with you. See, God knows who you are and he knows who I am. But he needs to hear from you. See, he needs to hear from each and every one of us. Yeah. Now, see, Peter is in front of all these people. And now all of a sudden, he's going to preach to them. But he's going to preach to them in a different way. He's going to tell them who Jesus is. And by the power of his resurrection and by the power of his name and his faith and trust in his holy name, that he did what he did.
Amen.
You see, this is just like you and me, okay? We are who we are, okay? But every day that God blesses me with life, I'm so grateful and thankful, okay? Last Wednesday, we have a men's fellowship here on Wednesday, and we had a gentleman that Pastor Tony had invited to come in a couple of weeks ago, and he came and he sat down with us. We enjoyed the study. We enjoyed having fun together and everything. And then before we left, my brother in the back over there came to me and he says he wants to receive Jesus Christ. Wow, let's pray for him. So we got around him, and here's a man that we didn't know, but God knew. He came in, and he said, I want to give my life to the Lord. I want to change my life. You see, you and I, everything that we have, everything that we are, goes back to God. Amen. It doesn't go to, I work for it, I did it. Remember the old song, I did it my way? Don't go that route. Amen? It doesn't work. I can tell you it doesn't work. Amen? Peter started preaching a message to these people about what they had done, what they had done to Jesus. But I want to remind you of something that Jesus said on the cross, okay? He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You know, can you stop and think the blessing that the Lord Jesus Christ put on us by doing that? See, he didn't condemn us for what had been done. He said, forgive them, for they did not know what they did. See, unbeknown to you and to me, we weren't even around when Jesus said that, amen? But look at how time has passed, and look at how things have worked out. Look at where you are today and stop back and think of 20 years, like myself. 47 years ago, I got in my truck and I said, Lord, please help me, because if you don't, I'm going to die. I never dreamed to be a pastor. I never dreamed to be serving God. But somebody came along and told me, you're going to preach here. I want you to start teaching the word of God to our men. And I'm going, wait a minute, that's not me. Yes, that's you. when I started doing that, my life changed. And it kept changing. And it's still changing. And it will continue to do that, because until the day that the Lord calls me home, my life will change, but hopefully every day it's changing to be more like Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen? And it's the same way with each and every one of us. We come to church, and we come to church to hear a good message. We come to church to feel good and to be encouraged and to be spiritually fed. You know, when you go into a restaurant, how many times have you walked into a restaurant and you ordered what you wanted, and you really enjoyed it, man. I mean, it was a meal. You left there, wow, man, I had a little, wow, I'm full, yeah. How many times have you done that walking out of church? How many times have you told God, thank you. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for feeding me. Thank you for taking care of me. See, all of a sudden, Peter is sharing a message with these people who didn't believe in Jesus Christ. Yeah? These people, when they looked at Peter and John, in verse 13, they say, when they observed the boldness of Peter and John and realized that they were uneducated, untrained men. Do you know that Calvary Chapel, where we come from, okay, had many men who had churches where there was 5,000, 10,000, 20,000 people attending. And these pastors had never been to a school. They had never learned, the college training of how to make a pastor. They were called by God, and they were trained by God to become pastors. Mike McIntosh, my pastor, okay, he was a drug addict. And God did fantastic work in his life. They told him that one side of his brain was dead. And you know what? That one side of his brain came alive and preached Jesus all over the world, not just here. Woo-hoo! Yeah. You see, those are things that God does. See? Have you heard the expression, that person will never change? That person will never amount to anything good. And some years later, you come along and you get to see that person, and they're a different person. Hallelujah. And then you say, well, I mean, how could they do that? They couldn't, but he can. Okay? You see, we have some young people out here. And sometimes, when you're young, you think everything is easy or everything is going to work out and that you've got everything that it takes to go ahead and make it work out that way. I'm sorry, it doesn't work out that way. Okay? I can tell you from a person myself that I thought I was smart aleck. I thought I knew everything. I went to college and I started college and I said, I don't need this. I can go and I can do anything I want to. And guess what? When I found myself working with a pick and shovel, I found out that that was not true. But I thank God for the pick and shovel because I learned how to work. I've been working all my life. When these guys looked at Peter and John, it said they recognized that they were untrained men. Do you know that Peter and John had walked with Jesus for over 3 years, and in the process of walking with him, they learned more than those guys that had been in college? See, See, they learn about laws, and they walked with Jesus, and they learn about love. They learned about patience. They learned about forgiveness. They learned not to be critical and judgmental of someone else. They learned how important it was that each person matters. Each person, because God doesn't make junk. This is something that really got to me here when I read this. And since they saw the man who had been healed standing with them, okay, can you imagine, okay, you have a witness. If you have received Jesus Christ and your life has changed, you have a witness. Amen?
Amen.
And when you have a witness, that witness, this man is standing with Peter and John, and he's telling the whole assembly of Jerusalem, God, heal me. Jesus Christ, heal me. And they are waking up to something they never realized would be possible. Yeah. And this is something for our lives. We, especially if you have children, grandchildren, how do you encourage them? Do you want them to become doctors, nurses, firemen, policemen, to marry a lawyer, to marry someone that's going to have wealth and position, fame? Or do you encourage them to follow Jesus, that Jesus has a plan for them, that they will have joy and peace in their lives that no one else can give them? Yeah. You see, Peter got to a point that when the Holy Spirit came upon him and he realized, you know what? I got a lot more than I even know. I better start using it. You see, each and every one of you has a gift that God has blessed you with through the Holy Spirit of God. And if you don't use it, it's not doing you any good. It's not doing anybody any good. Some people say, well, I don't know what my gift is. Why don't you find out? Why don't you ask God? Help me to know what you made me for. Yeah. I'm going to close with a prayer that Peter and the apostles prayed together. And I'd like for you to stop and think about the prayer and the way they prayed and the way they talked to God. They said, Master, you are the one who made heaven, the earth, and the sea, and everything in them. Now stop and think about that. God made everything. You didn't make nothing. You said through the Holy Spirit by the mouth of our father David, your servant. He said by the Holy Spirit what? You need the Holy Spirit. He will help you. He will testify of who? Me. Yeah. And your lives and the way that they are and the way that they work every day, I'll tell you what. God will do for you beyond anything you've ever dreamed. All you have to do is walk with him, follow him, and obey him. Jesus said, you call me Lord and well that you do, but why don't you do what I tell you to do? You see, you believe in God, apply it, okay? God's done something for you. Start thanking God for it and start using it and showing it. Amen. This man stood up, all right? Remember, he was a cripple. You and I were crippled because of when the world started with Adam and Eve. They sinned, and we picked up their sin nature. And the only way we overcame it was when Jesus died on the cross and paid for our sins. and he washed us, and he cleansed us, and he made us new creations. And this is the same way with each and every one of us. You know, I don't know how old you are, but God does. I'll tell you what, you can start today. You start walking with the Lord. You come to the church, and you read the Bible, okay? Start applying it to your life. Start loving the Lord in a way that it'll spill. When God fills you with love, it's going to spill over to other people. He said, love your neighbor. That's anybody besides you. I don't care who they are. Would you close your eyes? We'll close with prayer.